the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. And if you've been listening to this program for any time, even if you haven't, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that a major tax law went into effect this year, changing many aspects of our Internal Revenue Code. We have covered the tax details of this particular change in past programs. However, in the light of those changes, what we would like to do today is to shift the focus to state taxes. We're talking about state income taxes, estate taxes, property taxes, death taxes, well, that's the estate tax, and sales taxes, all of those taxes that states impose, oftentimes in relationship to federal taxes, but sometimes not. And you need to understand this is important from a retirement perspective, because the state in which you retire will greatly impact the total taxes you pay and the state and inheritance taxes your heirs will pay after you are gone. And remember, as we've mentioned before, the three big expenses are housing, taxes, and medical expenses. And we're going to zoom in today on the second of the largest expenses again, which is taxes. But in this particular case, state, not a state, but state taxes. Which are those most horrible, I should say it this way, Jim, horrible states where they could literally tax you to death? They are retirement tax unfriendly, and you may want to factor this into your retirement planning.
You know, the one thing I think that hasn't quite settled in this year, because the new tax law went into effect in January of this year, and of course, the tax tables weren't adjusted on people's paychecks until February. But I don't know if people really fully appreciate how this new tax bill is going to alter the demographics in this country in a major way. There was a new report that just came out last week, and it shows that three states, including my own of California, three states, New York, California, and New Jersey, are going to lose 800,000 taxpayers in 2018. And John, why that's important in a state like California that has almost $200 billion of unfunded pension liabilities and has a growing welfare obligation in the state along with Medicaid, is we're taking in a lot more people that do not pay taxes, and we're losing our tax base. Bank of America, Wells Fargo, have moved out of San Francisco, where they were once based, just like Chevron, and they've moved now to North Carolina. You've had Nestle close down its second and last manufacturing plant. And so more and more companies are leaving because the tax burdens are getting so high. And that's what is interesting. In the states that are losing people, New York, California, New Jersey, the governors of all those states are talking about raising taxes even further, which is only going to exasperate and accelerate the tax excess from these states. I mean, the governor of New Jersey, even though the head of the Democratic Senate is opposing the governor, he wants to raise taxes by several billion dollars. New York wants to raise taxes. In our own state here in California, we raised taxes in 2010. We raised them again in 2012. We raised them in 2014. We raised them again last year, whether it was 20 cents on gasoline, a dollar on a pack of cigarettes, a dollar on cigars, fees if you drive a hybrid car. Now they're talking about raising utility taxes. And the governor, and it just goes to show you the arrogance, he called California taxpayers is freeloaders. So what you're going to see, and I really think that we're going to see Meredith Whitney's thesis of an inward migration from the West Coast and the East Coast inward into the rest of the country is the next population and demographic trend. I think, you know, this tax bill is going to accelerate that. So what we're going to talk about here today is if you are talking about retirement planning, the state you choose to retire to should play a major factor in the quality of your retirement. It's not just the cost of living, for example, housing, medical, all those other things, the cost of food. I mean, John, I don't know, you have told me that in your state, you live in Coeur d'Alene, there's people from Spokane that cross the border into your city because the sales taxes are lower. And it's not just income taxes, it's everything else. As soon as I cross the border, go into Arizona, the price of gasoline's a dollar cheaper. So it's the cost of living. It's the income taxes you're going to pay. And what is taxed on your income tax return? It's inheritance and estate taxes, which we're going to go into detail today. And not only that, the quality of life. I mean, there are certain times of the day, if you live in Southern California, Los Angeles, you do not want to be on the freeway. If I'm going to go do something during the day, I have to time when I leave to go do something, because otherwise I could spend an hour in a traffic jam going nowhere. So it's also the quality of life.
Let's zoom in on some of this, because I know at your firm, you recently did a death tax study for the benefit of your clients, all 50 states. And what is really sobering is you recognize you may not owe any federal estate taxes upon your death, but you may owe state taxes. And so the state you live in determines that.
Yeah, we are doing a major research. We just completed the first part of it, which is the states that are the worst to die in, meaning the state will take more of your estate for your heirs and your children. We're also doing one on quality of life, on medical care, and also a summary of income taxes, because, John, about 20% of our clients that are retiring in California are moving elsewhere. They're choosing, you know, the top three states right now are Florida, Texas, and Nevada. You know, sometimes clients will move to be closer to their kids, which I recommend you really don't try to do in today's world, where your son-in-law or daughter-in-law can get transferred someplace else. So you move closer to be with your kids, and then all of a sudden, there's a job transfer, a job layoff, and things change. Nonetheless, the reason we undertook this is we're seeing this more and more in our practice, is more and more individuals choose to leave and go live someplace else, where the cost of living is so much cheaper. When you think about retirement, when you're going to be on fixed income or limited income, where you can live, where the cost of living is cheaper, whether it's housing, whether it's gasoline, utilities, the quality of life is so much more important and is playing a bigger and bigger role today, and is going to play even a bigger one now that we have this major tax law change. Now, our study that we did on death taxes, and basically is, where are the worst states that you can retire to and die in? In other words, if you plan on leaving money to your children, that's one of your goals. You would like to have your estate passed on to your children. Where you live and which state is now going to be a big determinant in terms of what happens to your heirs, because right now there are 15 states and the District of Columbia which have an estate tax. There are 6 states which have an inheritance tax, and there are 2 states that have not only an estate tax, but also an inheritance tax, which are Maryland and New Jersey. And I want to begin with the states, because right now, as a result of the tax law change, the estate tax exemption was raised from a little over $4.5 million to $11 million, and that gets indexed to inflation. So a husband and wife today with a living trust can pass on $22 million and pay no estate taxes. Anything above that or above $11 million starts at 40%.
Well, let's look at those evil state estate taxes by looking at the states that actually do charge it, even when you think that you are going to escape it by having escaped the federal estate tax.
Yeah. Now, what we did is we broke this into 4 categories of wealth. And the reason we did that, at the state level, you can have a state assess a death tax on your estate at various levels and then increase them as your estate goes up. So we broke it up into a net worth of $2 million, $5 million, $10 million, and $15 million. Now, if you look at states that are valued $2 million and under, the worst states to live in are Oregon, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. They will tax you at rates all the way up to 5%. When you get up to about $5 million, there are a number of states. Rhode Island tops the list, followed by Oregon and the state of Washington, Massachusetts. It goes down to Vermont, Minnesota, Connecticut, Illinois, and Maryland. Now, once you get past $5 million, there's one state in particular, if you have a net worth, you do not want to live and be domiciled in, and that is the state of Washington. It has no income taxes. It has a very high sales tax at 10%, but they have the highest estate tax rate of 20%. So once you get to $10 million, Washington, Oregon, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Minnesota, those are the biggies that will tax you. Once you get over $15 million and beyond, it's the same states. Washington, Massachusetts, Oregon, and Rhode Island, and Minnesota. Those are the states that are going to whack you from. Usually the rates are around 16%, with Washington going all the way up to 20%. So, you know, Washington is right at the top of the list. It's amazing. Maybe that's why Bill Gates, who's one of the wealthiest men in the world, all of his assets are strictly going to his foundation. So there will be no estate taxes at the federal level and no taxes at the state level. So for Bill Gates, it doesn't mean anything because his assets are going to go to his foundation. So there's no taxes. But for anybody else that owns a family business, has accumulated some wealth, those four states, you just have to remember: Washington, Massachusetts, Oregon, Rhode Island, and Minnesota. Those are the big bad five ones. Oh, and let me add Vermont, because Vermont comes into play as number five. If you have an estate of $5 million, they're number five on $10 million states, and they're number five on $15 million. And I might point out California, which taxes anything that, you know, if it flies, breathes, or moves, or walks, they'll tax it. But California's got a ballot initiative in the fall to start adding an estate tax at $3 million, starting at 12%. It's part of a bill called Education for All. They're saying we can give you free education if we just tax the rich. So California is now thinking of adding an estate tax to the highest income tax, sales tax, and property tax in the country.
I think we've covered estate taxes in various states and who the big sinners are, so to speak. Now, what about income taxes, the states that charge the highest in that? And I guess we've got to let California lead the pack.
Yeah, and why this is important now with this tax bill, because you can no longer get a deduction for the state taxes that you pay. Before, that was one of the big deductions that people had that lived in high-tax states like my own in California. Also, they have placed a limitation on mortgage interest. It used to be $1 million plus $100,000 for a second. That has now been reduced on new home purchases to $750,000. So several of these expensive places to live, like New York, New Jersey, California, you know, $1 million home in California is nothing. And, you know, $1.3 million is a starter home in San Francisco. So property taxes are also important because there's a limitation of only $10,000. So let's take a look at the worst states to live in when it comes to income taxes. My own state, California, 13.3%. And believe it or not, the idiots are talking about raising income taxes even further. Number two, at 11% tax rate, is Hawaii. Number three is Oregon, coming in at 9.9%. Minnesota and Connecticut are tied for number four with a tax rate of 9.85. Iowa at 8.98 clocks in at number five. The state of New York, and they want to raise taxes further, is 8.82. Number seven is Wisconsin at 7.65. And number eight, John, is your own state, a 7.4%. I thought you moved there to get out of taxes.
Say it isn't so.
I'm sorry. You're number eight on the list of top 10 states. Number nine is the state of Maine, which is 7.15. And number 10 is South Carolina at 7%.
Hey, I got a better idea. Let's talk about states that don't charge income tax. Now, of course, that may be heavily offset by a bad sales tax, but let's at least look at the income tax dimension.
Okay, there's seven states that have no income taxes: Washington, Nevada, Alaska, Wyoming, South Dakota, Texas, and Florida. The three states seeing the largest influx of new residents fleeing high-tax states are Texas, Florida, and Nevada. I mean, Alaska has no state income taxes. Probably not a great place to retire if you want to play golf or do something, but likewise with Wyoming and South Dakota. But I guess if you're Larry Lots of Bucks, you can live there during the summer and pay no taxes and use the tax savings and have maybe a winter home. I know there's a lot of Hollywood people that live and have ranches in South Dakota and Wyoming. But we have seven states that have no income tax. And once again, the big states, they're seeing the largest influx of retirees due to taxes are Florida, Texas, and Nevada.
Yeah, and just as I just mentioned, as we went into this section of the discussion here, okay, a lot of states don't charge you income tax, but they may make up for it with heavy sales taxes, property taxes, you know, estate taxes. We see this phenomenon all the time. Our studio here is just 3 miles from the Washington border, and you see people coming over here to buy because it's cheaper given the lower sales tax than it is in Washington, you know. And we even see the same phenomenon, believe it or not, people coming down from British Columbia because of the GST, the general sales tax, not to mention the provincial sales tax, that it's still cheaper to come down here, buy a bunch of stuff, and pay some of the tax going back into Canada. So people are smart if you live near borders, but not everybody can do that.
Yeah, I have a client whose son owns his own rig. He's a truck driver. And my client was telling me that his son complains about when he has to bring a load into California and get gas here because it's so expensive. He goes across the border. He lives in Arizona, and the price of gasoline drops a dollar. So let's look at the states with the highest property taxes. At the top of the list is New Jersey. Their tax rate is 2.31. Illinois, which has a major, major pension problem that could bankrupt the state, is 2.13. Texas, here again, no estate taxes, no income taxes, but Texas is number 3 when it comes to property taxes at 2.06. These are averages taken for all the major cities in the estate. Number 4 is New Hampshire at 2.03. Number 5 is Vermont at 2.02. Connecticut comes in at number 6 with 2%. Pennsylvania at 1.89. New York at 1.88 is number 8. Ohio at number 9 at 1.68. And Rhode Island at 1.64. Now, I think some of these figures, I don't know if they're really taking it in, because one of the things that we did in California, we did Prop 13, which limited the amount that the state of California and cities could raise taxes. But the way they got around that, John, is fees, and they did something called Milarus. Milarus would be like if you're a builder, let's say you're Toll Brothers, you're coming in, you're going to develop a major area. The city would come in and say, well, you've got to pay for a new fire department, a new school, you got to pay for roads and bridges and things like that. Well, the developer does want to put up that money. So what they do is they raise bonds, a tax-free bond, they're called Milarus bonds, to pay for that. So in order to pay for the sewers, the schools, and all that stuff, they'll have a municipal bond issue. And then to pay for the interest on that bond, they'll tack on additional property taxes. I know the last house I was in, I was close to 1.9% versus the 1% I pay now. But once again, these figures are just done on the general area.
Now let's do something that's really interesting here. Let's take those states that are the most horriblest places to live by combining all of the taxes. You know, the income tax, the estate tax, the sales tax, property tax. You put them all together and rank them according to the combined taxation. What are the top bad places to live?
The worst state to retire in is Minnesota. The state income tax rate is 9.85. The average sales tax is a little over 7.25%. They do tax Social Security, and they do it the same way they do it on the federal tax return. And on estate taxes, it's 16%, starting at $2.1 million. So Minnesota is number 1, is one of the worst places to retire. And number 2 is Connecticut. The state income tax, rounded off, it's 7%. Sales tax ranges from 6.35 to 7.75 on luxury items, things like jewelry, cars, and things like that. There's no tax on Social Security if your income's under 50 grand, and they have an estate tax that runs from 7.2 to 12%. The larger the estate, the higher the tax rate. Kansas clocks in at number 3. The income tax is 5.7%, sales tax 8.6%. They exclude Social Security from income tax, but estate taxes run from 7.2 to 12 and start at $2 million. Vermont is number 4. Their income tax rate is 8.95%. Sales tax is about 6.2%. They tax Social Security in the same way they do at the federal level. Estate taxes are at 16% on anything over 2.75 million. Nebraska is number 5. I'm really surprised at some of these Midwestern states. Nebraska, income taxes 6.84%. Sales taxes 6.87%. They do tax Social Security if you're married, making over 58,000. There is no estate tax. New Mexico, number 6. Income tax rate 6.84%. Sales tax 6.87%. Social Security, they tax based on close to 30,000 if you're single, over 55 if you're married, no estate taxes. Utah is number 7, 5% state taxes. Sales tax are roughly 6.7%, no tax on Social Security, no tax on estate, but they have all kinds of other little things that they assess you with. Maryland is number 8. The income tax rate is 5.75%. However, cities can add an income tax that ranges from 1.75 to 3.2%. You add 3.2% to 5.75 and you're over 9%. Sales tax is 6%. And here's where they kill you. This is one state, folks. If you have a large estate, you do not want to die if you want to leave assets to your children. They have a 10% inheritance tax, and they have a 16% estate tax that begins at $3 million. So very, very high tax state. New Jersey has the same thing. New Jersey has an inheritance tax and an estate tax. Number 9, Indiana. 3.23% state taxes, 7% sales tax, no tax on Social Security and estate taxes. But the states that are in this category have high property taxes. And then finally, number 10, Wisconsin, 7.65% state income tax, sales tax of 5.41%, in Social Security and estate tax, none. So think about this. Right now, at least for the next 10 years, there is no tax, estate tax, which begins at 40% at the federal level, if you have assets under $11 million, and if you're married, that would equate to $22 million. So for most people, they don't have estate taxes. However, where they're going to get you is at the state level. And once again, the 3 worst states to live in, if you're under 2 million, are Oregon, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. If you have an estate up to 5 million, Rhode Island, Oregon, in Washington, Massachusetts, in Vermont. Then if you go to 10 million and 15 million, the culprits are Washington, Oregon, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Minnesota. And it's the same if you have a large estate.
And this is something we should point out that really surprises people. I know some of your clients have been surprised when they thought estate taxes wouldn't affect them, but it turned out they got clobbered by, you know, state estate taxes.
Yeah, and we're doing a very comprehensive study because we have clients in almost 50 states. And so we're looking at estate taxes because a lot of our clients want to pass their assets on to their kids. We're looking at income taxes. We're looking at property taxes, sales tax. And then we're also looking at quality of life. I mean, have you ever seen a film of California during rush hour in Los Angeles on the 5 or the 405? John, it could drive you crazy in terms of just, you know, spending hours in traffic jams, and it happens frequently. You know, we never built a mass transit system in California, which is the most populous state in the country, and most of that population lives along the coast. So we're putting together a comprehensive study, and when we have that put together, we're going to feature it here on the program, because we're going to look at all taxes, and we're also going to look at quality of life issues, you know, breathing clean air, the cost of housing, medical care, access to education, all the things, you know, golf courses, recreation, all the kind of things that make retirement enjoyable. And we're going to put that together in an index, and we're going to do a comprehensive program on that.
Coming up tomorrow, Jim's guest is Chris Hennessy, inside the new tax bill. So that's something you're not going to want to miss. And now time for our real life case study, which is a hypothetical illustration based on real life examples. Names and circumstances have been changed to protect privacy. And we do have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that are being made.
Yeah, this case is Charles and Beverly Williams. Both are the same age, around 59. The goal is to retire in 3 or 4 years, pull down part of the income they have from their retirement accounts until they get full Social Security benefits at age little over 66. And in this case, you know, they're living in a high tax state. So this is going to be a real key factor. Both of them are in good health. Beverly's parents lived well into their 90s. Charles, based on the health questionnaire, his life expectancy is close to 90. Beverly's is over 90. This is something that we see quite often. They'll come in and say, you know what? We're conservative as investors, especially now that we're getting closer to retirement. And, you know, we want everything to be conservative because we don't want to have to go back to work once we retire. So their risk tolerance was very low. And I'll come back to this in a minute. Well, let me give you a little background. Charles is a consultant, and I mean, he's done very well, but as a result of being a consultant, he's always in the airport. And I don't need to tell any of you that have to do the same thing, what it's like having to sleep in an airport because your flight was canceled or your connecting flight is late, you're late for meetings. You know, it creates a lot of stress on individuals, not to mention some of the recent accidents that we've had flying. And the other thing that was kind of key to Charles is, you know, the cost of living in taxes, because they're high income couple and they're making good income and they're paying high taxes. So one of the reasons he wants to retire in the next 3 or 4 years, he goes, you know, I don't want to be getting on airports and spending the night in hotels and on the road a couple days a week, doing that another 3 or 4 years. So, you know, the original plan was to work to age 66 and get, since they're both the same age, is get their Social Security and retire then. But basically, Charles said, you know, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this another 6 or 7 years. There's just no way that, you know, 65, 66, I'm going to be wanting to fly a couple times a week and be in airports and hotels. Beverly is a therapist. You know, she has a good job. It's non-stress. And really, the key here for early retirement was Charles. He was just simply tired of being a road warrior, always being on the road. Now, we looked at their risk tolerance, and then we analyzed their portfolio. And this is something that was amazing, because their current risk score was 81. Their portfolio risk score was 55. So incongruous between what they perceive and what they wanted. They wanted to be able to retire early because, once again, Charles wanted, he just basically is getting burned out from traveling. So he wanted to, the original plan was to wait to age 66, but there's basically, he told me there's just no way that I'm going to be able to do this for another 6 or 7 years or 8 years. I just can't do it. So we want to take a look at their investment strategy. They wanted to lower their taxes and then also move to a place where, for them, being able to buy a house at a low cost is key, because shelter, as many of you know, one of the biggest expenses is owning your home, the cost of maintenance, and all that goes in it. It's not to mention the property taxes now, especially with the new tax law. So they wanted to go to a place where the pace of living was a little bit lower and they could live comfortably just as they are now working. Looking at their budget was about 175 grand. Their income was almost $200,000. They had a surplus of about $40,000 a year, so they were saving. Basically, they thought in retirement they would like to do the same thing, spend the same amount of money, and that's where we were going to run into a problem. But the good thing that we had here is Social Security by age 66 would be $50,000, and they were fortunate enough to have a pension plan, both of them. That pension would be $105,000. Most people don't have that. That pension plan that they were both receiving between them at $105,000, I told them, is equivalent to having $3.5 million worth of assets. So the bulk of their retirement income is going to come from their pension. The assets, they had roughly about $1.25 million of assets. Some of it was in a supplemental retirement program they had with their employers. And then, of course, close to $900,000 that they had in personal savings and investments. What we did is we put that in a balanced account. Mainly right now, almost 25-30% is being placed in short-term treasury notes and treasury bills because they're getting closer to retirement. And they're aware, listening to the program, that we're probably going to be in a recession in the next 12 to 18 months, not to mention a bear market. So they didn't want to lose a lot of money. So one of the things that we looked at is they wanted to look at several states that they would like to retire. One, John, was your own state of Idaho because of the beauty up there. They used to take vacations up there. They love the mountains. They love the lakes up there. And the cost of living is much cheaper. So what we did is we set up a balanced program. But the states that we were looking at, they live in Oregon, which is, by the way, the third highest income tax in the country, close to 10%. The cost of living is high. Sales tax are high. Estate taxes are there. And they wanted to look at Boise, Idaho, by relocating to a more tax-favorable state and also a state that has a lower cost of living. I know I have a nephew that lives in Boise, and the cost of living of what you could buy a home in Boise compared to, let's say, California is, well, John, your mother used to live in California. You know what the cost of living is here in California. So, and you used to live here at one time. So we advise them to start looking now and looking at areas in, you know, vacation there, because you really, when you move to a new state, you want to familiarize yourself with where you're going to live, the property taxes, the best neighborhoods, and also on real estate values. Because the last thing you don't want to do is move into a state and pay the top dollar for real estate because you just weren't familiar with the real estate values in the state. So the plan was to move to Boise in 3 or 4 years, put them in a lower income tax, put them in a lower property tax, also put them in a lower cost of living, and get them out of Oregon, which is a high tax state. So given the size of their estate, Charles and Beverly would have to pay thousands of dollars in estate taxes if they chose to reside in Oregon. And this was the one thing that they picked up on listening to the program, is they were really surprised and shocked that their own state had estate taxes. Most people, when they think of estate taxes, they think of the federal government. Well, with the new tax law, 99% of Americans are not going to be facing estate taxes. However, a good majority of Americans could be facing estate taxes depending on the state you choose to live in. So in this case, it was putting together a safe portfolio with the idea that once they retire, they would be moving to Boise. And one of the things I told them is you might want to consider, and this is still up in the air right now, you might want to consider putting your house up for sale because the Fed is raising interest rates. The higher rates go, higher mortgage rates go, the more it's harder for people to qualify for a mortgage. And then on top of that, the new tax law limits the mortgage deduction to $750,000. And their house was over $900,000 in value, almost a $1 million home. So I said, you might want to do that now. Rather than wait, you get ready to retire and you're in the middle of a recession. Interest rates are high. People can't afford to buy homes. So you got a lot of equity tied into your home, which is going to free up once you go to, let's say, Boise, where you can get a, the plan is that just looking at what they've seen in Boise, they could get a house for probably 25% of what the value of their house is now. Of course, they would be downsizing because the kids have all grown up. So here, once again, moving to another state, you are going to see this, as we talked about today. It's a mega trend you're going to see in the next decade as more and more Americans move out of very high cost of living states, states with high taxes. I don't care if it's property taxes, estate taxes, inheritance taxes, income taxes, you name it, they tax it. And this is a trend, and we're seeing it, John, more and more. But anyway, the plan is retire and move to another state.
And again, tomorrow, Jim's guest is going to be Chris Hennessy, inside the new tax bill, something you don't want to miss, considering that it is labyrinthine in nature and hard to understand some of what's happening. All right, what's coming up in future weeks here on the program?
We're in the month of May. We're going to take a look at education, and we're going to approach something a little bit different this year. And if you listen to the weekend program when I talked about demographics, and that is, really, is a college education really worth it? Because a lot of individuals are going into debt, paying for an expensive education, and the stuff they come out with isn't good enough to get them a job. And they're saddled with all this student debt. So we're going to be covering the topics of education in the months ahead. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.